Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, hotcakes. Welcome to Hot Take, the podcast where we talk about the climate crisis and all the ways that we're talking and not talking about it. I'm Marianne Eastheckler.
And I'm Amy Westervelt. Today, we are going to look at a couple of crazy ass movies.
yeah, but I think we should come clean with why we're doing this. So this episode, we're going to talk about some movies and some pop culture stuff, not only because today sucks, and we'll talk about why that is, but because we had a fantastic episode planned for you on climate and refugees. It was a conversation I've been wanting to have for a super long time. We had an amazing guest who I'm not even going to tell you who it is because we're trying to get them back on the show for a retape. And if we don't, then like we will be ashamed.
We'll be sad. So, and ashamed. Anyways. We had a technical glitch, man. Zoom just didn't fucking record.
Mercury is in retrograde. Like this is just science, people. I actually haven't Googled whether or not Mercury is in retrograde, but that's our story and we are sticking with it. Who cares what?
My five-year-old today was like, all the technology is broken all of a sudden. And I was like, Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah, that has to be it, right? So, you know, things were working against us. And now we're recording a special episode for the weekend about Seaspiracy and Deepwater Horizon.
Yep.
Yes, the 2016 movie with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, that's right. We went there.
We did it. So anyway, you ready?
It's time to talk about climate.
First, let's talk about why today sucks before we even get into the comments. So today is Thursday, April the 15th. The police in, or I don't know who released it, but some authorities in Chicago released the body cam video of a 13-year-old boy being shot by the police.
Ugh.
This comes, 4 days after the murder of Dante Wright in Minneapolis? Any minute now, the Chauvin verdict is going to release, and there's no way for that to be justice. As we've talked about on the show, like prisons are not justice, courtrooms are not justice, but when you're starting with the murder of an innocent person on camera and we even need to have a trial,
right,
then like there's no room for justice in that scenario. So whatever that verdict is a miscarriage of justice either way. So that's where we're at. Yeah, so today sucks. So my bright spot right now is that weed is legal in New York, and I have some.
Oh, yes.
It's from 2019, but...
Did you, like, find it in a couch cushion?
No, I kept it out for special occasions, so... That's my mind state as we record this. How about you?
Oh, Lord. that is so funny. I'm just super tired. I have just been... my kids went back to school for like a week, and then the school was like spring break. So they've been home all week. And, you know, I don't have spring break, so... Mm-hmm. I've been having to do my like 2 a.m. wake up and work thing again, which is unhealthy.
No wonder you're always up.
I'm so tired.
I swear, like, sometimes I'll text you at, like, 6 o'clock a.m. my time thinking I'm being an early bird and, like, you're up in California.
Hello, hi, hey.
You're like, oh, I've been waiting on you to get up. Like, what the hell? Oh gosh, but also weed is legal in your state and you have dispensaries.
It is. We have very nice dispensaries all around. Yeah, so
I'm aware.
Yes.
I'm aware. Yeah, I feel like all things considered, and in all of that, we didn't even really mention the pandemic or climate change or like any other host of horrible shits going on right now. So yeah. We deserve an episode where we like kind of do some escapism into some pop culture.
Yep.
One is a documentary that is like damn near fantasy. So we're going to talk about Seaspiracy, which is a documentary on Netflix. It's not lost on anyone that Conspiracy was right there, but that's not where they went. They went for Seaspiracy, which makes sense. Not at all. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, except that it's the guy that did Meatspiracy or whatever, right?
Cowspiracy. You're thinking of meat posting, my friend. So I saw it. I'd been seeing it on Netflix and I wanted to watch it. I didn't really know what it was about. Like from the previews, it looked like it was about plastics in the ocean. But for some reason, it wouldn't play on my TV in the living room. So I finally watched it when I was half asleep on my iPad. And I saw the name go across. I think his name is like Kip Anderson or something. Kip Thompson.
I think it's Anderson.
Kip something. And he's the dude who did Meatspiracy and What the Health, which were like movies that I felt embarrassed by as a vegan. So like, let's just say that up front, people. I'm vegan. I've been vegan since 2010. I've been vegan curious ever since I discovered what cheese was and how disgusting it is. So don't even try it with the whole like, you just want to eat steak shit. That's not who you're talking to. Right. But anyway, I was embarrassed by their movies as a vegan, but I saw his name and then I saw that it was a totally different narrator and director that I was like, okay, maybe it won't be about that. Mm-hmm. Fell asleep halfway through, woke up there, converting everybody to fucking veganism.
Yep. Yes. I just Googled this guy and he looks exactly how I expected him to look.
Yeah, of course. He's got a man bun.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what was your chief gripe about it? I know we texted about it a little bit because I made you watch it.
So the thing that first made me go, is this a joke, was that the narrator kept, like the filmmaker narrator guy kept like discovering things that I was like, yeah, this is been around, like there have been like three other documentaries about this, you know, like
like
the Taiji dolphin hunt, which is like very horrible.
Rick Barry,
who he interviews in this movie, made like the best documentary ever about that called The Cove.
So Whale Hunt is the one in Denmark,
in Japan, yeah, where they sort of herd all of these dolphins into a cove and then slaughter them. It is horrific. Like it is truly just like a horrific thing. And they do it for two reasons. One is to harvest some dolphins for like, you know, aquarium shows and stuff like that. And the other is to basically like thin out the dolphins, because the dolphins like eat some of the fish that they want to catch.
So
it's gross.
But Ollie finds out about this and he goes, I just cracked the case. He's like fucking Scooby-Doo.
He really thinks like
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, he reminds me, this is like there's an archetype that I run into in my life a lot of like, the person who like, you know, like reads a couple news stories and decides they're going to be a journalist all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, and this guy too, he's like, I had to go to Japan and see for myself what was going on. And he's fucking like hiding out in the bushes and all this. And he's like, they're following me around. I'm like, because you're like the most conspicuous person ever. And like, no,
but it would be like, I remember I did some reading about this. He didn't apply for the filming permits.
Yeah.
So yes, they're following you because you forgot to apply for your permit.
Yeah, but he's making it seem like it's this grand conspiracy against him. And it's like, no, dude, it's because you didn't just apply for the fucking permit.
Like when he was
no one is actually that concerned about your fucking gumshoe journalism over here, bro.
Exactly. When he was in China, like trying to stalk the origin, like who's making shark fin soup, and he just shows up at random.
Yes. And like tries to shove a camera in there, and they're like getting him out, and he's all, oh, okay. Like, oh, there must be something they're trying to hide. And like, okay.
I just want you to imagine you're in China, and some white boy with a full ass film crew just shoving cameras in your fish. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, what is wrong with you?
Yes. Yes.
Like, the fact that he thinks that's normal is hilarious to me.
It's just so, it's like, yeah, it's incredibly JV. I don't know. Just very
amateur
like,
hour.
Amateur hour, like a lot. And, but then, right. And then he starts, he gets into this, he gets into this section where he's mm-hmm. talking to Rick O'Berry, who is, his backstory is really interesting. He's like the guy who trained Flipper and then he realized, and so he feels responsible for creating like the obsession with dolphins performing. Huh. And so he has like committed his life to trying to end this like dolphin hunt thing because he feels partially responsible for it. So he's like he's a very endearing guy, and he's done an amazing amount of work, you know, trying to crack down on whale hunts and dolphin hunts and things like that. Very like earnest, well-meaning guy. I know like he had a big falling out with the people at Earth Island Institute, which is a fiscal sponsor of environmental nonprofits. And the name sounds like there's some kind of money changing hands there. But in fact, a fiscal sponsor just lends you their nonprofit status so that you can get grants. And like sometimes they do some of the back end paperwork and stuff for you too. And sometimes they don't. It just depends. But anyway, that's what Earth Island does. It was started by this guy named David Brower, who was like an early Sierra Club dude and whatever. And I worked there for a period of time. I edited their magazine for like 2 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so I knew these. So these guys show up on camera and I'm like, oh, I know those guys because I used to like work in the office down the hall from them. And and the guy he interviews in particular is this guy, Mark Palmer, who like helped to create the Dolphin Safe Tuna thing. And he's like grilling him about the fact that the Dolphin Safe label can't guarantee that like zero dolphins were harmed, because like the guy's trying to explain to him, like, well, we don't have the resources to have like, you know, an auditor on every single boat, you know, but we try to like, in the same way that Organic does, it's like they review like a quarter of the, you know, producers every year. They don't have people like stationed watching to see if you like spray pesticides, you know?
Right.
That's not how any label works at all.
Exactly. And Period. Who has the type of money and staff for that? Yeah. So, yeah.
Guy's like, gotcha. And then he's like, you know, he talks to like another person who is like working on plastic pollution and their focus is on packaging. And he's like, why aren't you focused on fishing nets? And she's like, can you turn off the camera, please? Because this guy has, again, just shown up in her office, shoving a camera in her face.
Right.
Didn't request an interview, has no idea who he is, whatever. And he's like, I couldn't understand why she didn't want to talk about it. And then I put two and two together. Like, they're also, like, part of Earth Island Institute.
Oh, my gosh. And I was like, it's just like, is this your college term paper or something? But, like, so also as someone who works at an environmental nonprofit, I was annoyed by that too, because like, look, these places don't just like everybody doesn't know everything at these places. Like, we're talking about very specialized knowledge. So if you're going to show up to a place, like they, first of all, you don't know what's going on at that organization. Like you don't know what they're working on, what sorts of emergencies they're dealing with. So like they didn't grant you an interview within a very specific set of time that you set. that doesn't, like, they don't owe you their time necessarily. They don't, yeah. like, people there are working around the fucking clock. Like, you have mm-hmm. no idea mm-hmm. what they're dealing with. And, like, some right. pipsqueak, and I wonder what his pitch looked like for an interview. Right? Because they're clearly not acting in good faith. They're not.
No, I don't think he even asked for an interview with those guys. Like, he just sort of, like, showed up. And, I mean, not with.
He claimed
maybe with
the
Dolphin Safe people, but the Plastic Pollution Coalition people. It was like, he just, like, went in there guns blazing and, like.
And right. Of course, they don't have the specific expert that you need ready to talk to you right at that moment. Like,
yeah. Do you know what's funny, too?
They could have been at home with a sick kid. Like, you have no idea.
Do you know what's hilarious, too, is that the woman, the particular woman that he really, like, makes look crazy in that film, she, when I put out a season of Drilled about these crab fishermen, and she was like, what are they doing about fishing nets?
Oh, really?
So actually, she does bring it up a lot. She just didn't want to talk to him about it. Her name's Deanna Cohen with the Plastic Pollution Coalition.
Okay. I just wanted to get that in for the benefit of the listeners.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, so he's like trying to be all gotcha, but actually, like, they do, like, talk a lot about fishing nets mm-hmm. and cages and all, you know, fishing lines and all of that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway,
all he does is like cherry pick his shit. Like, mm-hmm. first of all, like, we can start with the white saviorism that is just all over this movie. Like, he he goes to Asia and Africa and like treats them like they're either like poor victims or like these seedy mafia types or something. Never like really talks to anybody about the possibility of sustainable fishing. So like what was perplexing right. for me is like he goes to Africa mm-hmm. and sees like the pirates or whatever and talks about how like the global north is stealing fish from the global south, which is true and is a real mm-hmm. problem. Mm-hmm. And so like you have people who have subsisted off of fishing for a really long time.
Right.
But then he turns around and paints like a vegan diet as the only actual scenario to this and doesn't talk about the idea of sustainable fishing.
Right.
Like he just like glosses right the fuck over that.
Right.
So like I found that like they clearly started this movie with their conclusion, which mm-hmm. is everybody should go vegan mm-hmm. and then work backward from there because yes. of the amount of zigs and zags that they take. So like one of them that I know was super annoying to you is that they talk about the Pacific Garbage Island or Pacific
it's so
Plastic
annoying.
Patch, right?
It's not a giant island.
It's not? I thought it was.
No, this is a classic example of like a mistake made in one piece of media that has like reverberated for a decade or more. It's it's this thing called a gyre, which is like, you know, basically the currents are such that it's like a toilet bowl, you know, flushing mm-hmm. over there and it mm-hmm. sucks in.
So like
all
a cyclone
these...
in the water? Like
yeah,
a
and it sucks in all of these like particles of plastic. And so mm-hmm. it's like if you were to pull those micro particles out and put them all together, it would form an island the size of Texas. That's like how scientists were trying to explain it to journalists. Mm-hmm. And someone started calling it like the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. And people got this image in their heads of like a giant floating plastic island out in the Pacific.
I really thought that until this moment, actually.
Yes. A lot of people have. And this guy didn't help because like all of the footage he was showing was of like a bunch of plastic knotted together, which, by the way, is not what the Great Pacific Garbage Patch looks like.
I did not know this. Amy, your brain is scary.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. So there's that. Like mm-hmm. he talks about like there's everybody's so concerned about this garbage island that we now know is not an island. Mm-hmm. And 70% of the plastic in there is from fishing. Mm-hmm. And so then he starts exploring the fishing industry, right? So like, because the whole movie starts with like, I got worried about plastic in the ocean and I was cleaning up plastic on the beach and it wasn't working. And it's right. like, well, maybe because you're just one dude.
Yeah, and of course that's not working.
Of course. You thought you were going to single-handedly get all the plastic out of the ocean? Like, damn, it feels good to be a white boy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So he's like, 70% of this plastic is from fishing, so I'm going to follow the fishing industry now. That's not 70% of the plastic in the ocean, though. That's just 70% of the plastic in that patch.
Yes.
So
yeah, and I found it very hard to trust his facts because he seemed to just be like, and then I read an article in The Independent, and it's like he literally, it was like he was forming conclusions based on reading one story right. on a website.
Like, he makes his movies the way that I green troll. You know what I mean? When I'm about to like troll BP, I Google things like BP, piece of shit.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I feel like that's what he did was like, you know, plastic, fishing, bad. And then this movie came out. Oh, God.
Right? Yeah. So he does that. And then so he gets so close to like examining where's all the plastic in the ocean coming from, but doesn't go to the end of the supply chain, which would have taken him to fossil fuels. Like, I don't understand how you like that's you've heard of a hop, skip and a jump. Like,
yes. Yes.
That was a catapult. How do you not go to fossil fuels from that?
And then
he does try to talk about climate change, but he talks about it in the guise of like, what is animal agriculture doing to the ocean? Animal agriculture is a problem. Okay. Yeah. Don't even try to come for me for not acknowledging that. It is a problem, but it is not the problem. And like him hyper focusing it on agriculture. I don't understand how that's any better than people hyper-focusing it on individual action, like, honestly. Because it's not even like he's proposing large-scale solutions to animal agriculture. It's just like, you need to go vegan. And like, okay, well, let's talk about the amount of packaging in veganism.
Right. Or the amount of pesticides used to farm across the board, or the amount of, you know, GMO seeds or whatever, you know, it's like, I don't know. I just feel like, and again, I'm not making the argument that like veganism is bad or that people shouldn't eat less meat. You know what is bad though? Or, you know, whatever.
You want to know what is bad though?
What?
Mayonnaise is bad.
Mayonnaise is delicious and I will never change my mind.
No, it's not.
But anyway, yeah, the other thing too is that, I think I've said this before that the fossil fuel industry has made a concerted effort to separate itself in people's minds from the plastic problem. And it has been fairly successful. And this movie completely does that. I don't understand how they've even pulled that off, because plastic is made out of petroleum and like other petrochemicals, you know?
Because they were just like not going for the actual root cause. It's like they got almost to the root cause and then did a hard pivot back down the supply chain to
consumer action.
To basically. Demand.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what's so obnoxious about it. Look, like, I think that I think everybody who's listening to this is probably doing something for climate change. The fact that you're listening to this is doing something for climate change and trying to, like, have the conversation or learn how to have the conversation. That's doing something for climate change. Right. I went vegan because it was accessible to me. It's not accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. I also went vegan because I wanted to eat more French fries. Like, I really feel like it was so easy for me to do it because I don't like dairy.
Right.
I don't like mayo. The things I like, I was just getting shit out the way. It's really what I was doing. And we've talked about this on the show before on the food episode about how food is just so, so incredibly personal. Like, I don't think the way to people's hearts when it comes to climate is through their stomach.
No. And it's certainly not through this sort of like shrill lecturing environmentalism that focuses on making individuals feel guilty for bad, you know, consumer decisions rather than galvanizing a movement to change the system. You know, right. And again, like, I feel like I have to say this every time I say anything about individual action, because I don't want people to be like, oh, she said individual action doesn't matter. I'm not saying that at all.
Not at all.
Like, both are necessary. It's just that, like, you can't actually solve a systemic problem with just individual action.
Exactly. And individual action is so much more than consumerism.
That's right.
Right?
Like, you have many individual choices beyond what you buy. Yes.
Right. Again, like, the fact that we record this episode is an individual choice on both of our parts.
Yes.
So if we thought that we could not make a difference as individuals, like, you wouldn't be hearing from us. We wouldn't talk about it at all. We wouldn't have a newsletter. We wouldn't have Twitter. Like, we obviously, everything that I wake up and do every day is an individual action, including what I eat, but also including what I do. And so that was what's so obnoxious about this sort of activism, is that it boils you down simply to a consumer. It is ultimately, it's less individual action than it is capitalist action.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So if you can go vegan, go vegan. It is a good thing to do. Animal agriculture is a ginormous contributor to climate change. But, like, what I found frustrating about this movie and every movie that's come out of this school of thought is that it presents it as, you're frustrated with this problem because you're not solving it at the root. Let me give you the root cause, and it's veganism. And then, like, what are you going to do? Like, tomorrow when you wake up and climate change is still a problem. When you wake up tomorrow and plastic pollution in the ocean is still a problem. You know what I mean? So, like, he starts off with, like, I was doing these beach cleanups and I was donating to these organizations, but I still see plastic in the ocean. I don't understand why I still see plastic in the ocean. And then he gets to the end of the movie. He's like, oh, that's it. I'll go vegan. Well, you're going to be vegan and you're going to wake up tomorrow and there's still going to be plastic in the ocean.
Right. Like, it's like the exact same thing is going to happen that he's complaining about, right? It's like he starts with, I, one person, am cleaning up plastic on the beach and it never seems to be doing anything. And he ends with, I, one person, am going to go vegan. And, like, you know, what's the next disappointment going to be?
Right. Like, that's the thing about capitalist solutions to capitalist problems is that it always leaves you wanting more. It always leaves you unsatisfied and disillusioned. Yeah. And that is why, like, this is not a solution oriented film. It's going to leave people, like, even further frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's no individualist solution to this. And I don't understand why Netflix keeps giving the same dude so much money to make the same motherfucking movie.
He definitely looks like he knows the right people.
Oh my God. Yeah, he does. So, like, you get to every single one of his movies and you're like, you want me to go vegan, don't you? Every single one is the same fucking plot line.
Veganism. You know, I've recently discovered that, like, a lot of documentary filmmakers fancy themselves journalists, but, like, they really don't do anywhere near the level of research that actual journalists do.
Yeah.
And yeah, this guy was particularly bottom of the barrel.
I'm telling you, it sounds like they do the amount of research that I do when I'm green trolling.
No, for real.
I loved how, like, he goes to, what is it, Earth Institute, and then, like, comes back and he's like, I couldn't get an interview, so the only thing left to do was to follow the money. If you could have done that, why didn't you start there? What do you mean, like, following the money was your last resort?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's where you start, bro.
He's like, I cracked the case.
Yeah, he really thinks he cracked the case.
I was, like, halfway expecting, like, you know, Scrappy Dappy dude to, like, show up out of the corner.
And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. Yeah.
Okay, you have to leave that in. That was gold. That was straight. Wait, are you high too?
Nope, just tired.
Oh, okay.
I have never been a big white wine person, and especially not in the fall. But after becoming a member of First Leaf, I'm a convert. First Leaf knew exactly what types of whites to send me that felt familiar and delicious and would get me excited about trying something new. I love First Leaf because they make it easy to get personalized wine delivered on my schedule right to my door. Since I choose the day that my shipment comes, I'm never stressing out about missing a delivery, and every selection is backed by First Leaf's 100% satisfaction guarantee. I love how I just have to answer a few questions and they just know what I'll like. No more zoning out in the store looking at 100 different bottles and trying to pick the right one. Give your palate what it really wants with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/drilled to sign up, and you'll get your first 6 hand-curated bottles for just $44.95. That's tryfirstleaf.com/drilled. tryfirstleaf.com/drilled. This holiday season, get a gift for yourself too, and keep it simple. I gave myself the gift of a better, more convenient laundry experience. I know, laundry doesn't sound like a gift, but honestly, EarthBreeze just makes it so much easier. Think about how you actually do laundry. You have to work out how much detergent to pour, lift that big plastic jug, hope the goo doesn't get everywhere. It's annoying. But EarthBreeze Eco Sheets look like nothing I've ever seen in the detergent aisle. It's like a dryer sheet kind of, but it's the detergent and you throw it in and then that's it. There's no measuring, no nothing. It works in hot and cold. It's also dermatologist tested, hypoallergenic, and free of bleach and dyes. And it fights everyday stains and odors. You get a powerful clean, but you don't have to deal with all that packaging. Right now, my listeners can get started with EarthBreeze and save 40%, 40%. Go to earthbreeze.com/drilled. That's earthbreeze.com/drilled for 40% off your subscription. earthbreeze.com/drilled.
Magenta. Warning. Magenta alarms.
Warning. The well is blowing out.
What? Hi.
Hey, Mayday, this is Deepwater Horizon. We are in a...
What the hell are you doing? Did I ask you to call it Mayday? You don't know the difference between a kick and a goddamn blowout.
Why is the...
You don't know shit!
Why is the monitor out? Mayday, 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 this is Deepwater Horizon.
We, as we said, we lost an episode. Yeah. And last night was when we realized it. We recorded it like a month ago.
Yeah.
But we realized we lost it last night and we're like, what are we going to do for some content? And I was like, well, Tuesday is Fuck BP Day, in case you didn't know. We'll mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about what that is. But I was like, I wonder if there's a movie about the BP oil spill of 2010, the Deepwater Horizon spill. And I Googled it and there was.
Yeah.
Can you guess what the name of it is? Deep I'll give you 3
water
seconds.
Horizon.
And it stars Mark Wahlberg.
Yep.
And so I made Amy watch it last mm-hmm. night, and now we're going to talk about it. But first, let's talk about April 20th, because it's a very special day. It yep. is what we're now calling Fuck BP Day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It is the anniversary of the Deepwater Horizon spill.
Yep. And the only good thing I'll say about the Deepwater Horizon movie is that it made me re-mad about the Deepwater Horizon spill. So if you need that energy,
Oh, yeah, it'll do that. It's corny as shit, but it'll make you mad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll talk more about the Deepwater Horizon spill and, like, just how bad it really was. Because the movie actually doesn't really get into, like, the aftermath. Because the aftermath is even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But April 20th is also 420. And, you know, it's legal in New York now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I also just learned that it is Hitler's birthday.
Yeah. Hitler's birthday and the BP disaster. Perfect.
You know? So let's like revisit the BP oil spill. This year will be the 11th anniversary. Last year, everybody kind of missed the 10th anniversary because it was the coronavirus. Yeah. We were still like getting used to that. So nobody really marked the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bring that 10th year anniversary energy to this 11th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're on any platform, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever, it's Fuck BP Day all day that day.
That's
on
right.
Everything that they've posted in recent memory. Look for the subsidiary accounts like BP America, BP UK, BP, like they've got all sorts of little tentacles running around on social media. Find those, find the most recent thing that they've posted and give them hell because they deserve it. Because what happened? Tell us about the BP oil spill because your brain is scary.
I mean, it just was a series of really avoidable mistakes, you know, that resulted in like over 200 million gallons of oil being spooged into the Gulf of Mexico, killing all kinds of fish and birds, really destroying so many people's lives. 11 people died on the platform itself when it exploded. I mean, it was horrific. It was at the time the worst oil disaster in U.S. history. I'm not sure if there's been a worse one since then.
But, I don't think so.
It
like,
was
I
pretty
think
fucking bad.
Yeah, and it went on for a very long time. Like, I remember, you know, I was not at all initiated into the climate world at that point. But I remember being, like, utterly freaked out about it and having nightmares about it. Like, seeing oil, like, in the water of waves crashing onto the Gulf of Mexico, and it looked like salad dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and seeing how many birds died, dolphins, and just, like, that's not sustainable. Like, shrimp with three eyes and, like, alligators all fucked up. Like, the fishing industry, I don't think, has recovered to this day.
Nope.
A lot of industries hadn't. And, like, the other thing is to remember, like, this is the same place that got hit by Hurricane Katrina just 5 years before that.
That's right.
And so never really, to this day, New Orleans really hasn't recovered.
That's right.
And
BP has never really made good on a lot of the promises that it made to that community either.
Yeah. And they've got, like, a brand new gift for the Gulf right now, right?
They do. They have their first... Their first new oil platform since then is being installed, like, right
this
now.
This month. Like,
happy birthday, Deepwater Horizon disaster. Here's another potential disaster.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's like that's their gift to the Gulf is a new platform.
Yeah.
On the anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just feel like we got to get them something better for their anniversary. So
that's like someone cheating on you on your wedding anniversary.
It's like someone cheating on you and then you finally make it to your anniversary anyway. And then they invite the person they cheated on you with to the wedding anniversary party.
Yes. Yes. It's kind of, I just am like, wow, how did they not think through the timing on this? They don't care. They don't care.
Yeah, like, baby, we got to break up.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't working.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they're, of course, out there, you know, being low carbon now. That's their deal. Low carbon life.
Fuck you, Amy.
I feel like that's all BP talks about right now.
It's all low carbon this and hydro that, but then they like trot out this new like oil platform in the Gulf of Mexico. Like ain't nobody gonna see the press release.
That's right. That's right. I'm gonna play here my favorite little bit of the CEO of BP, Bernard Looney, who's like the guy who keeps pushing all this, like, we're green now, we're part of the solution, we're part of the energy transition stuff.
What he was saying at sort of an employee meeting last year when they were rolling out this new initiative.
It's also the reality that the world's going to need oil and gas for decades to come, and we're probably going to be in oil and gas for decades to come, because how else is that $8 billion dividend going to get served?
So I found the movie last night and I made you watch it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like that was as a use of your time?
Well, you know, I honestly kept thinking that the disaster itself was going to be like the beginning of the movie, and then we would get to some of like the aftermath and like, you know, push for accountability, like community impact. There was none of that. It was like, basically, the BP guys are assholes, but somehow the Transocean guys who and the like Schlumberger guys,
people,
like
all
the
like
lesser known oil supply companies that work the rigs were like, you know, they were just trying to do their jobs and they were trying to keep things safe, and the BP guys were just after money and blah blah blah, and like, and then it's like an hour of like explosion and oil gushing.
Yeah. I did
love seeing the it's John Malkovich plays like the shitty BP guy, and he gets like covered in oil at a certain point in a very satisfying way.
That is satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say that like I found it annoying that they made it a thing of like the working class versus like working class, like regular everyday workers or whatever, like they were incredible. They were like overly simplified good. And then the corporate folks were like overly simplified evil.
Yes.
And so like, just as a writer, that irked me because like you could add some depth because like as a Southerner, like I felt patronized by those characters. Like, they just, like, run around saying folksy nothings to one another for no reason. It was like, did the writers of True Blood write this? You know? this is not how real people are.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, and they also were so heavy-handed with the foreshadowing in the movie. Like, incredibly heavy-handed. And like, they are about to take a little helicopter out to the rig. And one of the BP company men, who like, they really make a show of, like, how the BP people don't know anything about the rig. And, like, that's their sin. Their sin is that they don't know anything about the rig and that they think they're smarter than the
working man. They're, like, not trusting the people that, like, are working on it or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it's really
not
weird.
The sin that they, not their sin being that they knew about climate change motherfucking decades before they had them out there drilling the ocean well, or what do you call it? Like a well in the middle of the ocean? Like, that's their sin. Their sin is that they know that they're, like, ending the goddamn world.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Not so much that, like, they think they're smart with all their fancy degrees and their ties, whatever. But anyway, so they're about to take the flight out there, and the BP dude has on a magenta-colored tie. And the guy's like, would you mind taking that off? He's like, I would. And he's like, well, the thing is that, like, we believe in...
we're superstitious, and like the worst possible alarm on a rig is magenta. It's the color of that tie, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
right, which, like, of course, the BP guy doesn't know what the alarm system is like, and blah, blah, blah. And maybe the BP guys are that stupid. But like, I want to hear more about how evil they are on the macro level, actually.
Yep.
You know, we talk about this all the time. Like, the bulk of the blame for the climate crisis is on, like, CEOs at BP.
That's right.
And executives at BP. And, like, I don't have anything in my heart against somebody who works on a rig.
No.
I don't think that they're equally culpable and all of that sort of thing. But, like, these people were not portrayed as human beings. They were portrayed as, like, uber benevolent, like, childlike.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it was very two-dimensional.
The other thing is, like, so I'd not spent as much time thinking about how the Deepwater Horizon exploded. And they, like, explained that in grandiose detail in this movie.
Yes.
Which, you know, as a writer was annoying, but it was helpful to me to understand it a little bit more. And I never noticed how much Deepwater Horizon is so much like Chernobyl.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's like, there's all, it was so avoidable. And there were all these, like, you know, points at which they could have, you know, done things more safely or made different decisions. And like, and then, yeah, so many, I mean, I don't know. They kind of did this well. There was this like whole part where like the one guy didn't hit the like shut off valve because it like he doesn't have clearance or whatever.
Yeah. That happened in Chernobyl too. And there was like not listening to the scientists in Chernobyl. And also just like the way that it exploded, and like there were people who like literally melted in Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of similar to what happened on Deepwater Horizon, like the mm-hmm. way people died on the oil rig and like burnt up and all of those sorts of things. And also how impossible it was to contain it. Mm-hmm. Like Chernobyl, they had to do all sorts of like wild shit that nobody, like, honestly didn't even sound like it made it sense.
Yeah.
To try to stop the disaster, and the same thing in Deepwater Horizon. And it's still not all the way contained, and kind of the same thing with Deepwater Horizon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But nobody said, like, after Chernobyl, people were like, okay, maybe this nuclear thing doesn't work. But after
Deepwater Horizon, it is literally the thing everyone points to when you talk about nuclear as like a potential, you know, emissions-free energy source, all of that kind of stuff, is like, yeah, but the risk is way too high. And I do wonder, like, how people hold those two ideas in their head. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, and I'm not advocating for nuclear. I think there are a lot of issues there too. But it's just weird that, like, we can apply that thinking to that form of energy, but not to fossil fuels for some reason.
It doesn't make any sense, right? And then the fossil mm-hmm. fuel industry will brand like solar and wind as not proven technologies. And it's right. like, well, actually, fossil fuels, if I'm being generous, it's not proven. But mm-hmm. actually, it is proven. It's proven deadly.
Right.
So anyway, watch it if you want to.
Watch it if you want to get like revved up for fuck BP day.
Yeah, exactly. Or just go read about BP oil spill. And you'll get, like, all you got to do is do an image search for Deepwater Horizon and you'll be pissed. Yeah. Oh, but that was the one other thing I wanted to mention is that Chernobyl, the TV show on HBO, was mm-hmm. supposed to be a climate change themed show. Mm. Like, that, it was a metaphor for climate change.
Yeah, I don't think climate change needs a metaphor.
Why didn't they just do the fucking Deepwater Horizon? Yeah. Like, you could just tell the actual story. And
you could,
like,
just tell it straight down the middle. Like,
you know? We're out of speculative territory, homie. Like, just say the thing.
Fucked up. It is fucked up. Anyway, good, yeah, like, remember that BP sucks.
Yeah, fuck BP day all day.
Fuck BP day.
Yeah. April 20th. And then
that's right.
We're going to do a Clubhouse next week, yes. too. So look for those details in the newsletter.
That is right.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the best trolls on Fuck BP Day.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So join us for Fuck BP Day.
Make sure you're following us on Twitter. I'm at Mary Hegler, and Amy is at Amy Westervelt, and the show is at Real Hot Take.
That's right. And sign up for our newsletter if you want to make sure that you have access to all the good memes before then.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Awesome.
Keep fucking all your right. chicken.